to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, July 12, 2021. A South Sudanese woman is set free after a court found her innocent in a drug-related case.
Accused number six has been arrested illegally for an offense that the husband is alleged to have committed, not her.
And Sudan say Ethiopia should stop taking unilateral decisions on the use of the Nile water.
The council encourages the three parties to go back to the African Union to resume negotiations under that umbrella in order to reach an agreement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations Security Council has referred the dispute between Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt over the filling of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam for negotiations under the auspices of the African Union. Sudan's charge d'affaires to the United Nations, Mohamed Al-Bahi, reiterated his country's rejection of the second filling of the dam, which Ethiopia announced earlier this week. He says Ethiopia should cease any unilateral action and commit to reaching a binding agreement with Sudan and Egypt. Tension is running high between Ethiopia, Egypt, and Sudan over the dam.
The council encourages the three parties to go back to the African Union to resume negotiations under that umbrella in order to reach an agreement. It also urges the three parties not to have any unilateral steps in a way that might cripple the way to reach an agreement. It is also encourages the parties that negotiations should be bound with a specific and limited time frame there. So this is the main message that the council has made to the three countries today.
Well, this is what the council has resolved, but we have reports that Ethiopia is already in the process of filling the dam for the second year and has notified Sudan's government that beginning this month of July, Ethiopia is proceeding with filling the dam. That will affect any negotiations you might be planning, will it not?
This is something totally rejected by Sudan and rejected by Egypt. Ethiopia doesn't have to make the filling without agreement between the three parties. Because if you would like to fill according to your own wish, and to operate the dam according to your own wish, then what is the benefit of having negotiations? What negotiations are about? So the three parties are negotiating in order to address the issue of the filling and to address the issue of the operation of the dam. This is of course a very big breach to the obligations of Ethiopia, which is totally rejected. We have been voiced out. We have voiced out our rejection to Ethiopia bilaterally, and then we brought this issue to the Security Council. And this is one of the latest development that compelled Sudan and Egypt to bring the issue again to the Security Council. Unfortunately, Ethiopia doesn't have political will to reach an agreement, and it is very apparent that if you go for this filling unilaterally, that means you don't have the intention to reach an agreement with the two other riparian downstream countries.
Now, for Sudan, it's not just the dam. Ethiopian-Sudanese relations have been deteriorating in recent months. You have the dam, you have a border dispute in eastern Sudan, and a refugee crisis. We have reports of military confrontations between Sudan and Ethiopia, and that Sudan has banned Ethiopia from flying its planes through Sudan's airspace. Can you confirm that?
Unfortunately, I'm not interested to talk about this, actually. I prefer just to restrict my talking to the issue of the dam right now. But later, maybe I'm going to talk with more elaboration on the issue of the border between Sudan and Ethiopia and the bilateral relations between the two countries.
Egypt seems to be more angered by the dam than Sudan, and it reiterates that it maintains its right to defend Egypt's security and its strategic interest. The Nile waters, basically. In case of Egypt deciding to go to war with Ethiopia, what would Sudan's position be?
I don't prefer to talk on behalf of Ethiopia or on behalf of Egypt right now. But let me tell you that the option of going to war is not now an option for Sudan. It's not an option. I believe that it's not an option for Egypt too. It's not an option for Ethiopia. There is a keenness to just resort to negotiations in order to resolve the issue of the girl. That option is not now is not an alternative. Yeah, it's not on the table now. I don't believe that it's going to be one day one of the options that each of the three parties might go for.
That's Ambassador Mohammed Al-Bahi, Sudan's Chargé d'Affaires to the United Nations. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio on Friday from New York. As South Sudan marked its 10th independence anniversary on Friday, some South Sudanese have expressed both despair and hope, while others regard the 10th anniversary as a special occasion that gives every citizen an opportunity to take a stock of their independence hopes and dreams. Others say there's very little to celebrate. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Some South Sudanese say the day provides an opportunity for people to reflect on past accomplishments and set national goals. Jane Godon-Soro, executive director of the South Sudan Entrepreneur Association, says she remembers vividly how she felt free when South Sudanese voted in a referendum in which they chose to separate from the rest of Sudan. Soro says her first recollection of freedom was spending the night at the Women's Union building with a room full of women who had traveled to Juba from all over the land, which is now South Sudan, to vote for independence. Soro says she and thousands of other women anticipated a green nation, peaceful and prosperous, bursting with promise and potential.
And we still remember that day. And then we thought that maybe this thing, this happiness will continue up to today. But what happened? Because of our leaders who are leading us, no separation.
The man behind the road of South Sudan's independence was Dr. John Garang, leader of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement and Sudan People's Liberation Army. Garang signed the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005, laying the framework for independence. He died in a helicopter accident just weeks after being chosen vice president of Sudan's transitional administration. Juba activist Zainabu Usman describes what she believes Garang would think about South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary.
For me, I knew Dr. John Garang personally. He was somebody, when he says something, he will do it. During the signing of the CPOU in Nairobi, and that speech still rings into my head. He says he wants to see women ululating, because I'm sure what he wanted was, we went to the bush because we wanted something better for ourselves. We didn't want to be second class citizens. We wanted to be first class citizens with all the priorities and with all, the power. But now things are different.
Edmond Yakani, executive director of Community Empowerment for Progress, a civil society organization in Juba, says years of conflict have destroyed citizens' expectations for real independence.
I would have been the most disappointed person because we messed up the purpose of why we fought for independence. And one of the mess that we have is that we become one of the most corrupt states. Secondly, we become a state that is defined by characteristics of fragility. So Garang would have been the most disappointed leader by saying, look here, I didn't fought to have a state where it's fragile and where does not upheld transparency and rule of law. So he could have been the most disappointed, honestly.
Juba resident Dudu Susan says inflation and high commodity prices has made day-to-day life difficult these last 10 years.
Our currency is slowly, gradually and surely becoming more and more malnourished. It's losing its beauty. It's losing its weight. It's losing the chances of becoming its best in a country as young as South Sudan.
Godfrey Bula, a Juba-based lawyer, says peace and stability is what South Sudanese need above all else to see their dreams and hopes fulfilled. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Juba.
Still on South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary, our reporter William Sande Mabor took to the streets of Rumbek to ask South Sudanese how they feel about celebrating the country's independence after years of conflict and other challenges.
This independence anniversary means that we are free. I am a free citizen in my country. This independence happened when we were young people. And we are going to enjoy the fruit of this independence. Even if that we are having other challenges that are facing us as a new nation, this is how it is all the time. Because when you grow up, you must face challenges before becoming stable. I would urge our leaders of this country to provide the young people accessibility to healthcare, education, innovations, inventions for the young people.
The 10th anniversary of South Sudan independence remind me as a citizen that unity of South Sudanese people was intact. When people unilaterally vote for secession of South Sudan, which resulted to the independence in which 10th anniversary is going to be celebrated. So for me and for the people of South Sudan is a joyous thing.
10th anniversary of the independence, it meant me a lot. It was our dream as a South Sudanese people. For the long years we have been taken in the struggle, so our dream was to have this grateful independence. So it is a proudness and a joy, and it means to us the greatest thing we have ever achieved in our life as a South Sudanese people.
Malwaluantuk, the 10th anniversary of the independence of South Sudan for me, first of all, is good for me to be proud as a South Sudanese. 10 years time, that's a great joy to me. Another thing also is that we are like an infant learning to stand up and to walk and all these things. So for me, I don't regret it, although there are some of the things that we are getting along the way.
Actually, being the 10th anniversary, I'm so happy and very proud. When I was out of South Sudan, I wasn't happy. But when I returned to see my country, people are independent. Moreover, even though there are some death cases, it's not like last time that there is too much war, that people are dying too much. But now is at least it has reduced. And I'm very proud to be a South Sudanese. And I want this country to continue prospering such that we can have peace and joy in this country.
I'm by name Susan Adekmabo. For the celebrating of this 10 years anniversary, it is good to me as a citizen of South Sudan, by the way. I'm happy because South Sudan have now 10 years being free from any county being that rule South Sudan. So now as a citizen of South Sudan, we are free. But in this free time, we have not used it in a good way, actually, because people say that they are free, but they are not free. They used to kill themselves.
Actually, I feel proud about independence of South Sudan because I feel a person with my own identity. But the independence of South Sudan is to me, is just a political independence which does not bring with it a technological or economic independence. And we, people of South Sudan, we really need independence that give us its fruits, the fruits of good economics, living standard, security, and other things that are necessary to human life.
Those are voices of South Sudanese on the streets of Rumbek expressing their feelings about South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary. William Sande Mabor collected that audio. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a South Sudanese woman is acquitted of drug charges in a court in Juba. Find out how after the break.
So South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The High Court in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, has acquitted a 37-year-old woman accused of smuggling 26 kilograms of heroin. The woman was detained in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, for over a month before being extradited by Interpol to Juba. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Diana Botel Ohisa was arrested at her home in Kampala after her husband, a suspected member of a drug smuggling ring, vanished from their marital home. After four trial sessions, the High Court said it had found no evidence against Ohisa. Ohisa's lawyer, Godfrey Victor Bula, praised the High Court's ruling. He says his client was unlawfully arrested and charged with an offense committed by her husband.
Accused number six has been arrested illegally for an offense that the husband is alleged to have committed, not her. It is a violation of a constitutional right of anybody in this country that you cannot arrest somebody for an offense of somebody else, because criminal offense is private and personal.
Bula says he sees his client's acquittal as a symbol of bringing justice to the innocent. And he says the case should serve as a warning to law enforcement agencies to be more diligent in doing their job.
It is not just the police or public prosecution attorney or legal profession that must hang their collective heads in shame. The Republic of South Sudan has largely seems to have abandoned its obligation of holding those violating the rights of others in the names of the state. This has left many victims lost faith in our police, as they arrest innocent people instead of arresting criminals.
Major General Daniel Justin, spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, says the heroin smuggling case against Ohisa was complicated. He insists that the police follow due process and respect the rights of suspects.
It is not the policy of the police to arrest people without legal rights. Maybe one individual or two individuals can behave like that, but the system, the cross-checking is there. Because the investigator, we have crime officers that are there to suspect the jails. We have the chief of crime in the division, the head of the division, the attorney general. All these people, they are free to inspect the jails on daily basis to make sure that anybody inside is arrested legally.
Ohisa was acquitted on Monday, but the trial of five other people charged with drug trafficking will continue next week. All five were detained by South Sudan's anti-drug department at Juba International Airport in November 2020. The five are two Kenyans, 31-year-old Brian Omsigo Fetao and 35-year-old Jackson Cairo, two Nigerians, 45-year-old Dudu Noma and 23-year-old Christopher Anena, and 27-year-old South Sudanese citizen Zadida Andro Alazo. Prosecuting attorneys told the justice the suspects were found in possession of 26 kilograms of heroin. Presiding Judge Alexander Sabro read out the charges against the five.
I, Alexander Sabor, hereby charging you, Brian Wambigo, that the exhibit was cut on your position in Juba International Airport, the two big carton inside it, stabilizers and sandals. And inside the stabilizers, there was a dangerous drugs, this heroin, cocaine, and these drugs are very dangerous to the people.
Judge Sambro says the suspects are being tried under Section 383C of South Sudan's Penal Code, which criminalizes any activity involving dangerous substances, including illegal drugs. If found guilty, the suspects could face the death penalty. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Juba.
South Sudanese marked their country's 10th independence anniversary last week with mixed reactions. Our reporter Winnie Chirino took to the streets of Juba to ask some South Sudanese how they feel about celebrating the country's independence after years of conflict and other challenges.
Being independent comes in so many aspects. You're supposed to enjoy the freedoms, the developments, and every aspect of, you know, a life that an independent country is supposed to offer. But as a South Sudanese until today, we struggle to have good roads, we have poor infrastructure, we have poor health services, we have no good education, and corruption is everywhere.
The 10th anniversary has taught me on the kind of leaders we have, how much they have done for the country, and what we really need to do for the vision of this country that we've envisioned some time back.
For me, the 10th South Sudan independent anniversary, it means little for me. Majorly, I may be looking at, if we talk about independence, we should be able to manage some few other things by ourselves. But still, you look at agriculture, we are still exporting agriculture produce. Roads are still in a bad condition.
10th anniversary of South Sudan really reminds me a lot of the sacrifices that were made to have this nation, all the lives lost, the commitments of our forefathers, and all the messes that we put and indwell on our people after gaining independence. Now, there are two different nations. The nation that we fought for from 83 to 2011, and the nation of 2011 up to date that has, oh, 2013, you talk of 2016, the hunger, the suffering, and the life lost.
Worse and worse. No salary, no work, and then in the office you find only one tribe in the office. Some others who have finished a school, they have a certificate, they have the degree, so people are just moving at home, they staying at home without anything, without doing any work. But some people, some tribes who have no events, they don't have the certificate. You find that they are working in the office and they don't know what they are doing. They don't know what is agriculture. They don't know what is education.
Like before, when we used to be one Sudan, women don't participate like in most of the institutions, be it government or in the private sectors. A woman cannot set up a business and run it because it's believed to be something that's only done by men. But currently, in South Sudan, I personally have a business and I'm a woman. And we are given the opportunities also in the government sector. We can hold government positions. And for instance, in the military, we have a woman that represents us, Madam Angelina Tange. We have more in the ministries also representing women.
Those are voices of South Sudanese on the streets of Juba expressing their feelings about South Sudan's 10th independent anniversary. Winnie Chirino collected this audio. Our reporter Onan Walter Solomon took to the streets of the South Sudanese capital Juba to find out the mood of people on the streets after years of conflict and other challenges.
Obviously, we gained our independence. We are seeing development in different public sectors and private sectors. And also, as a woman, we are being represented in all the sectors, work-wise, and we're also helping in developing the country. So it's really been a milestone despite the economic, social challenges, but we are managing. And the most important part is we are officially a republic, like every other nation. Though we are still the youngest nation, we will still get there like every other country in the world. So as a woman, I feel really blessed to be a South Sudanese, and I'm very proud of the country.
Being independent is like you are on your own, especially like the Arabs. When they are here, they are ruling us, and most of our mineral souls, they are being exported outside. They use those minerals to develop their own place, and now we are independent. We have the power of managing our resources, how we can use it to develop our country.
I'm happy what the government have done. Like the electricity we are enjoying, like it's make for us reading easy. Like we are reading now at night, you don't worry about the insecurity. So the security light is everywhere to see who is there or who is not there. And also, there are some challenges we are facing, like even the coronavirus of 2019 to 2020. People are at home. Many girls got married in this break of coronavirus. But thank God now we have resumed our school.
Our foreign suffered a lot because when they were struggling for our country. And since we have got the independence now, it makes our mind to remember the way we suffered. As we are moving forward, we are always changing because we left those wrong things which have gone, and we are always struggling for better.
These 10 years of our independence is actually some challenge we are getting sometimes, like salary is not coming on time. For example, like those of government, they will take like more 3 months, 4 months to get what they are working with. Now, Beremil Tamoya is 700 SSP. If you don't have that money, you cannot get the water.
Since we separated from Sudan, those years we are happy. Since the war broke out, after now we are facing a lot of challenges. All my mother and brothers are in Uganda. If Kajikaji is there, we are not suffering like this. But for now, our village is being destroyed. We are just doing Kambada work, which does not help.
Independence Day is an important day for us as a South Sudanese. So for me, this day is very important to be celebrated. But most of people are divided. We have the government side, we have IO side. There are a lot of challenges. People are not one. We have two parties. We have the part of government, we have the part of IO. The more challenges people are getting in this country. COVID-19 came later, then enter. This is the most thing that people are affected with.
Before we got independence in 2011, it was not that easy. Education was actually lacking in the country. We never had basically the basic needs that are needed by human. Though we have a lot of ups and downs in the country, a young nation like this needs patience, be vigilant enough, and I am the face of development in this country. Bring all our differences and put together, we can be able to develop this country. South Sudan.
Those are voices of South Sudanese on the streets of Juba expressing their feelings about South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary. Onan Walter Solomon collected this audio. That's all we prepared for you today. We now leave you with Victoria Ole and the song O Mamaland. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Shukran. Yali kore jani ya mama. kiliyazi kuruchi ya mama.